Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat brought to you live on CigarFederation.com. Broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are out there in the world today. Robbie Raz here with you from Cigar Federation in burning hot California, man. It's like 95 degrees here. But I'm inside. I got the AC blowing. It's not too bad. Logan, how's everything going in Texas, my friend?
Stupendous.
It's hot over there, huh?
It's hotter than donkey balls.
All right. Are they hot?
I don't know if donkey balls are hot. I don't know, man. I've never rode a donkey.
I
would be a guy to have had a donkey.
Yeah, you do strike me as a donkey guy. I've ridden a donkey before.
Really?
Yeah, and I may have told
the
story.
Like in the zoo?
No, when I was in high school, I was a freshman in high school, and we had a donkey basketball thing where they would bring in donkeys, and we would ride the donkeys and play basketball. They probably don't do it anymore.
No, they did that in my school, too.
And I made the only shot for the freshman class.
Good job, man. That's something to hang your hat on, Rob.
Oh, man, it was not easy. The first time I tried to get on the donkey, I went right over it, and I kind of face-planted on the the court there. It was not pretty. But anyway, yeah, I have ridden a donkey. Oddly enough, that has nothing to do with the rest of our show. We've got Stephen Bailey here from Cornelius and Anthony Cigars. Stephen, thanks for taking the time to hang out with us. Appreciate it.
I really appreciate the opportunity to come. This is exciting.
Thanks. Well, look at that. We got a compliment right out the box, yeah. Logan.
I don't know about exciting, sir. I think you choose your words incorrectly.
I'll take the compliment. I'll just take it. So Cornelius and Anthony you guys are relatively new on the scene within the last year or so, right?
That's correct, yes.
And currently you've got two releases on the market, the Cornelius and the Daddy Mac. The Daddy Mac comes out of La Zona. The Cornelius, El Titan de Bronze, wow, you picked really good you picked really good factories to work with.
Well, honestly, it was a process of elimination. It didn't all start nice and easy. That's just part of getting into an industry that's a little bit new to you.
Oh, absolutely. But those are two pretty good industries to start with. I know we've had actually was looking, and Seth has reviewed, one of our mods has reviewed each, the Cornelius and the Daddy Mac. I know he liked the Daddy Mac a lot. I think he gave it like a 91 or 92. Then you've got a couple releases coming out at IPCPR in a couple weeks. We'll get into that in a minute. Why don't you give us a little bit of background on the company and yourself, how you get in the business?
Well, I've been in tobacco all my life, and really my family has been. Right here where I'm sitting, it's about a 9-mile radius between where all my family presently lives and all the way back 5 generations. So Cornelius was really the first person in our family that we can track back to that grew tobacco in this area. And that's been carried on every year ever since for it's over 125 years now. So I've always been in tobacco, grew up at the end of a tobacco row, waiting for mama to come back from the other end. My dad, he was the kind of guy that likes for you to be out there working. So I was introduced full time to the tobacco field when I was 10. So learned some work ethic and some things about that I'd never change. It's a lot of good lessons learned in the tobacco field. And in 1993, my dad and I decided that we were going to start a cigarette company, and which was absolutely the stupidest thing we could have done. You know, we're just out of ignorance thinking it would be real simple. We'll take some of the tobacco we grow on our farm and make cigarettes out of it and go out there and sell it in the marketplace. And, well, here we are, 2016, and we're still in business. And there have been a lot of evolutions and changes along the way. But, tobacco's in our blood, has always been. And a few years back, I decided it was probably a good idea for us to expand markets and find other opportunities in the industry. And I've always been watched premium cigars from a distance thinking, man, those guys, the folks that smoke cigars just absolutely love it. I mean, it's hardcore. And, you know, I could never correlate our story very well in the cigarette industry. And I said, well, this is an opportunity for us to really explain who and what we are and, you know, how we've been in this industry for so many generations and try to expand our markets and take advantage of you know, this great group of folks out there that really love premium cigars.
Awesome. Now, what part of the country are you from?
Yes.
I was going to say, like, where from the deep south that you are from? Because your draw is epic, bro.
Hey, I'm proud of my draw. It's kind of got a Ward Burton sound to it for any of you NASCAR fans out there. Ward is actually a friend of mine, and we live about 40 minutes from each other. So I'm in Southside Virginia is where I'm at.
Okay. Yeah, I when I say what part of the country you're from, obviously, I knew you were from the south. I picked that much up. I deduced that much on my own.
You were able to ascertain that much?
Yeah, my skills of deduction are on point today, man. On point.
Well, not to talk about cigarettes, but I do have a question.
Sure.
Is that what are the brands under Cornelius and Anthony cigarette-wise?
There are no brands under Cornelius and Anthony. The brands are under our parent company, for lack of a better term, called S&M Brands. We make a brand called Bailey's, which is my last name. Tahoe is the brand that we make, and Riverside is another brand. And we've kind of evolved into a lot of different segments within the industry. And you know, I decided cigars was a good place to be because of the creativity, and you know, it's a lot of fun. It's fun, but part of the business that, frankly, cigarettes and FDA is not a lot of fun anymore.
Right.
Well, cigars and FDA is not that much fun anymore
either.
At this point, yeah, that's a tough subject. But so yeah, okay. So you're around tobacco your whole life, and I mean, obviously, you know, the cigarette thing's working. So you take that step to premium cigars, and like you said, you know, folks who smoke the premium cigars, they do love it. That's absolutely true. When we can attest to that. I'll give you a question here. This one's from Jason Myers. I feel like, Logan, it's become kind of an unwritten rule that we have to start every show with a question from Jason.
I think you just do that because.
No, these are the order that the questions are coming, and they get the upvotes and whatnot. So the upvotes are at the top of the list, and it's always Jason. It's always his at the top of the list. He says, let's start. We'll talk about the Cornelius first because we've got four blends to talk about. He says, the Cornelius has been very well received by cigar nerds so far. And like I said, I know Seth reviewed it for the site. I'll have to pull up his review here. He says, can you give us some insight into the backstory behind this blend and how it came to be? Now, the Cornelius comes out of – that's the one out of El Titan de Bronze, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Ecuadorian wrapper, Ecuadorian binder, and fillers from Nicaragua. So
correct.
Give us how involved were you in the blending process?
You know, that's kind of my fun. You know, a lot of folks play golf or, you know, I'm a big – I enjoy fishing too, but I can't make any money doing that, at least not so far. You know, so I enjoy blending tobacco. It's a lot like a chef in a kitchen and the creativity that goes behind it, blending different grades of tobacco and seeing what the, you know, the results are. It's a hobby of mine. I've been doing it for many, many years now. And, yes, I was very much involved with the process. Courtney Smith, who is a big part of what we do here, she and I and Todd Vance, who is in charge of our sales nationwide, we work extremely well together. We went down to El Titan, spent some time with Sandy. We worked on multiple blends, man. I smoked a lot of cigars in a very short period of time, and we finally got to the point where we felt like this particular blend was what we wanted. So we took some samples and we had some folks try them, and you know, we got positive reviews. So that's pretty much the process that we use.
Now, everybody who goes down to El Titan de Bronze, and I've never been. Logan, I know you've been there.
It's Sandy's a handful, man. I would not want to be married to her.
I was going to say, everybody says how awesome Sandy is.
No, she is awesome, but she's just like, man, I don't know how old she is. I don't want to go talking about how old she is. But she's an older lady, but like, man, she's a spitfire. I would not want to cross her at all, period. But she's awesome.
I've been working to try to get her to come on the show.
If you do it, that'll be the first interview she's ever done.
And I'm working on it.
Aficionado.
I'm working on it. We'll see. We'll see if that can happen. So, so that was. I mean, obviously, that must have been a great experience. You know, getting down to El Titan de Bronze, great factory, a lot of fantastic cigars coming out of that factory. Let's see. Then, what is the price point on that one?
It's going to run around $13. You know, it varies from state to state, but you know, Sandy's trustworthy, and you know, that's a pretty big term to use in the tobacco industry, and that's one of the reasons why we ultimately settled on her. She does a fantastic job. If I have any projects to work on that's outside of the norm, I go to Sandy because I know she's going to give me what I ask for. And you know, she's just a super person. Loves spending time down there. The folks are so passionate about what they're doing. They want to do it right, and they want you to be happy with everything. And so she's been a big part of what we're doing. It's been a real blessing getting to know her and having the support of the folks down there behind us and making this project work for us.
So was the Cornelius the first cigar that you released, or did you release both of them at the same time, the Cornelius and the Mac Daddy?
The Daddy Mac was a few weeks later, but Cornelius was the first full-time release, yes.
Now, I don't know if I've ever asked this question, but I've always kind of thought, especially when you're working with a factory like El Titan de Bronze, where the prices are always going to be higher, and the cigars are made in America, there's going to be, you know, you're paying a higher premium. Was that difficult to try to get into the market with a cigar with a price point that high? I mean, $13... That's a hefty price tag.
Well, you know, I think people relate price to quality most of the time, and I think Sandy delivers that. You know, of course, there are cheaper places to get cigars made, but, you know, coming from a farm family in the United States, the marriage between us and what Sandy does in the United States, particularly for our flagship brand, just made sense to us. And you know, I know everybody out there cannot afford a $13 cigar. I understand that. That's why we're, you know, bringing some other releases to the market. But it's something that's got our family name on it. And, you know, we want it to be top notch. And Sandy's able to deliver that.
No, absolutely. That's a great answer. We've interviewed a lot of people on the show. Logan, this is episode 270 or something.
I don't think it's quite that high. I think I was embellished, but it's over 200.
238?
I don't know. I'd ask Surgeon. He knows
something
more
like
about
that.
The show than we do.
We'll do the count. And when we're talking to newer companies, smaller boutique companies like yourself, there's two different schools of thought. It's, well, I want to come to market with the best possible cigar that I can make. And if it's an $18 cigar, then be damned, it's an $18 cigar. Or I want to come into the market with a cigar that's great but approachable in the price point. And you had you were very clear on what you wanted to do.
Yes, I've been in the tobacco products business since 1994, and I've been through all the congressional wars and the state capital wars, and you know, there have been many nights pacing the floor of my house trying to figure out how to make something work. How do you get this brand into the market? What are people wanting? What are they looking for? How do we provide that to them? So, you know, I can't say that I went to college for all of this. I've learned through a lot of whippings over the years. You know, that's just the bottom line. And you don't forget those lessons. So I've learned a lot in the tobacco industry. It's always fascinating. It's always challenging. There's a lot of people out there that do not want you to succeed. And I guess there is some pleasure taken that, you know, every time that someone picks up your product or places an order, you know, there's a certain level of satisfaction that goes along with that.
Yeah, I can imagine. Question here, this is kind of a follow-up here. This is from Jeff LaPlante. Jeff, is it LaPlante or LaPlante? Jeff, I need to figure out how to say your last name because you ask a lot of questions too, and I feel like I say it different every time. So your first release was from El Titan. The next three that we're going to talk about here in a minute are coming from La Zona. Any plans to work with El Titan on another release in the future?
It's highly possible. You know, like I said, one of the things that a lot of folks don't understand is the logistics of working with companies. You know, Dominican Republic is a great place to work from a logistical standpoint. It's a lot easier to get in and out of than, say, Nicaragua is. And one of the things about Sandy is, you know, Sandy's handy. She's right down the road from me, and I can be down there in, you know, 96 minutes on a Southwest flight. So, yeah, and, you know, there's so much respect there, and, you know, if the opportunities are there for us and we see, you know, further progression on this line, we will definitely do some more work with Sandy, no question about it.
Awesome. Now, that's that's one lesson for the cigar industry, which you've probably learned already. You guys have only been around for about a year. You have two cigars out. You've got two more that are coming out in a few weeks, and we already have people asking about what's coming after that.
We won't in about 2 years.
Yeah. Well,
they're going to say, will you please bring something new?
Please, yeah, right. Yeah, we can hope that that doesn't happen. So just to close the book on the Cornelius before we move on, it's available in three sizes, a 6x50 Toro, 5x52 Robusto, and a 5.5x46 Corona Gorda. Very classic sizes. I like that. Someone's going to ask about a Lancero, so prepare yourself for that question. There will be a Lancero question, even though we already know that they don't sell, but everybody wants them, or everybody on Cigar Federation wants them anyway. So let's, you know what, remind the audience you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're here with Stephen Bailey of Cornelius and Anthony Cigars, talking about, well, we just finished up the Cornelius. We're going to jump into the Daddy Mac. I got to write this. Did I get it right this time?
Yes.
I want to say Mac Daddy every time because I go back to when I was in junior high and Criss Cross was real big with the Mac Dad and the Dak.
Make you want to jump.
Yeah, that was
Criss Cross going to make
that's
you.
That's what pops into my head.
It's the return of the Mac is what it is.
Oh, there's the. Oh, that's going to happen too.
Yeah.
I have a really close friend who I don't karaoke much, but when I do, I'm more of like a Frank Sinatra, Summer Wind kind of guy. Maybe a little Margaritaville, like in the standards. Mm-hmm. But my buddy always does the Return of the Mac, and it's the funniest thing. But anyway, Logan, this next segment's brought to us by who?
This next segment's brought to us by, are you ready for something? Scratch that. Are you ready for something new from the hottest cigar brand on the market, Fratello Cigars? Fratello Oro is the first Connecticut shade available from Fratello Cigars. It's available in the fall of 2016, which is just a few months away. Ask for it at your local tobacconist and ignite your journey. Back to you, Rob.
Ignite your journey. I like that. I'm looking forward to that one.
I actually really appreciate that they gave me some reads.
They gave you
normally
copy.
I actually have to wing it, I appreciate that.
And it was only like slightly abundantly clear that you were reading it, so it wasn't too bad.
Was it abundantly clear? Because I would have assumed it was. But
no, it was good. That was good.
Just remind me I got to read off their little page.
Okay, you definitely got the read in. So before we jump into the next blend, which is the Daddy Mac, I want to talk about the artwork that you guys have and your branding. I'm a graphic designer by trade, so that's where my eye goes. And I love the look that you guys have. And now that I'm learning, this is kind of more family lore than just let's try to be kind of classic. And there's even a kind of a steampunk feel to the two new releases that you have coming out. It's a very, very cool look. Was this kind of your idea?
Oh, I wish I could take credit for it.
I just gave you the chance.
I know. But I think Courtney would have my head if I took credit for it. No, I have to say Courtney Smith and a gentleman that she works with out in California really came up with this look. And, you know, she and I have spent a lot of time together talking about what I wanted to accomplish. And, you know, she's done just a bang up job of taking that information and turning it into brands. And, you know, I'm real thankful to have her on board. There's just a whole lot of folks out there that you could turn it over to that wouldn't do quite as good of a job.
Well, yeah, and my compliments to Courtney too. She put up with all my emails while we were getting this show set up. So, so I'll give her some appreciation there. Now, this graphic here that has Cornelius on it, is that an actual photo of someone from your lineage, or is it
That's Cornelius. That is the man.
And Cornelius is your
great great grandfather.
Great great. Okay.
Yes.
So that's how far back we're going. Okay. Now let's see. So I kind of just asked this question, but I'll ask it again because it's posted here from Swede. He says, "Is there a real Cornelius and a real Anthony? We just established there is a real Cornelius. Is there a real Anthony?"
Yeah, I was stuck with Anthony. My mom and dad, I guess, thought it was a joke, but that's my middle name. So, you know, as I was trying to figure all of it out, I said, well, I may as well throw my name in there, but Cornelius and Stephen doesn't sound too hot. So I went with Anthony.
It does have a nice ring to it.
Yeah, it's got a good sound to it, and it's really cool, like, to see the look. And this is Stephen, I'll be honest with you, this is the first time we met, and I was expecting, you're not the person I was expecting.
You're kind of the person I expected.
No, and I don't mean that. I don't mean that in a negative way at all.
What were you expecting?
I don't know.
Were you expecting a guy like wearing overalls with a twig of hay hanging out of his mouth?
Not at all. Not at all. The graphics and everything had such a hip and kind of steampunk feel to it, and I wasn't expecting someone as authentic. Does that make sense?
Because
this is authentic. This is your family lineage. This is your deal. It's not just, hey, this is something that looks cool out of, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea or something, and I'm going to make it look special. I mean, this is really authentic, and it gives me a different level of appreciation for the brand. So it's a compliment, but I got there in a weird way.
That's cool. Rob, I appreciate it.
Question, Rob. In under 30 seconds, please describe to us who aren't all artsy-fartsy graphic douches like you what steampunk is.
Go look when you're done, look up a movie called Sucker Punch.
Okay.
When we're done with the show, look it up, and that's steampunk. It's Zeppelins, and if you're looking at some of these graphics, like the graphics they've got for these two new releases, where it's like a blueprint for
a guy on a tractor.
That's a gun of some kind, like a Gatling gun type thing. I don't know what the term is for that. And then the other one with
the guy on the tractor.
Well, if you scroll down, you'll see it. The other one with the octopus. It's like if you take a modern twist on something really classic. There's a lot of dials and gears and things like that.
You just basically were like, gabba, 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 gabba. Like, you'd tell me nothing.
Look up Sucker Punch. Look up Sucker Punch. It's actually a pretty good movie, and all the chicks in it are really, really hot.
Okay.
That helps, too. So let's jump into I don't have a technical definition of what steampunk is. You'll figure it out, though. Okay, so we're going to jump into the Daddy
Mac. I got a question, though. I do have a question.
After Logan's question.
So, first of all, are you planning on doing any cigars, in the limited window that you can? Because, I mean, I'm assuming you guys grow, Burley and Bright Virginias, I'm assuming, or maybe some fire-cured stuff?
Yes, to all three.
Are you planning on actually using any of those in blends, or is that very out of the realm of possibility?
It is not out of the realm of possibility.
Sure. I'm going to read between the lines there, Logan.
I would love to see someone, because I smoke pipe tobacco too occasionally, and I've never seen anyone do a cigar that was good. I mean, they do with fire cured, and I'm not a huge fire cured guy, but I've never seen anyone do just a straight up Bright Virginia cigar. It'd be interesting.
Someone should do it.
is that guy you?
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible.
Did you talk to your attorneys before the show and they put a gag order on you or what, bro?
Well, look, I'll tell you that I have spent I've spent some time looking at Virginia tobacco, as you call it. We call it flue cured here in Virginia. I've looked at what the possibilities are. It is a totally different animal than the dark air cured, light air cured tobaccos because of the sugar content, which is a chemistry, that naturally occurs in the leaf. And, there are some things that have to be done to make the product work. I've been doing some work on that for about 18 months now. So we'll see, if the tobacco turns out and it's something I'm not ashamed of. I mean, this whole deal really is like a cook. If you're cooking for your family, you want them to look at you and say, man, that was the best XYZ I ever ate. And really that's what the objective here is. And, if the tobacco will allow it, then, it's something we certainly will pursue.
Good answer.
All right. So let's move forward here. Question from Tracy Drew. I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit, Tracy, so I apologize. But first off, Tracy says, loves the Daddy Mac cigar, one of his top cigars of the year so far. So that's always good to hear. Tell us a little bit about that cigar. That comes out of La Zona. Got a Brazilian wrapper, Ecuadorian binder, Nicaraguan fillers. Tell us about how that one came to be.
Well, I met Eric Espinosa, actually last year at IPCPR. He and I hit it off real quick because we were both cursed as being Miami Dolphin fans. So, we hit it off quick and we started complaining about our team instantly. So Got on a plane not long after IPCPR. We flew down, spent several days with Eric. We worked on a lot of blends together, and we finally came to a point that we were satisfied with what we had accomplished, and we decided let's turn it out. Let's see what the folks think of it.
So how much input did you get in that one, and how did you guys end up on a Brazilian wrapper?
I was going to say, is it Modafina, or is it Bahia, or what is it?
It's not Modafina. It is a Habano 2000, and it's really product that he's had in inventory. You know, when you start to make cigars, the manufacturer is going to want to sell what he's got in inventory. And, you know, we took a lot of different combinations of what Eric had in inventory, because we didn't want to go out searching the world for a specific leaf of tobacco to make the cigar. And, you know, we took those different plants, different grades, and went after it, you know, for several days. So same thing, smoked a lot of cigars in a short period of time.
Oh, I can imagine. And that's a fun group to work with. They have a lot of fun. If you do get a minute, you should check out our YouTube channel and watch our interview with Eric Espinosa last year.
You mean my interview?
At IPCPR, yeah. It was a lot of fun. It was totally...
It'll never be topped, I don't think.
Yeah, it wasn't prepared. Eric is a lot of, he's a blast.
If you guys want to impress me, I'd like for you to tell me how many times he said bro during the interview.
You know what? He may have not said bro.
No, he didn't say it one time.
I don't believe that.
You have to watch it to see.
I'll have to watch it.
There was some role reversal in the interview. It was awkward.
It was so awkward.
But to your credit, Logan, you played it pretty well.
I know, man, because I'm amazing like that, and I can be thrown in awkward situations and handle it quite well.
Yeah, you.
Except I didn't say bro. If I would have said bro more, it would have been funny. Yeah. But it was he literally came up and said, "Okay, I'm you. You're me in this interview. Go." And he's like, so, Eric, what do you bring into the market? I'm like, I think we got the Murcielago or the Espinosa Special. I heard it was called Special or whatever, you know. Like, I didn't know. Like, like I got some of the crap right, but it worked, I guess. But, yeah, no, Eric's cool.
Okay, so let's see. So we covered – so now we've got the new ones to cover because there's two new cigars coming out. Let's see. So we talked about, I want to try to reference this with a question, but nobody asked the actual direct question that I want. I'm being very picky here. Okay, here we go. This is from Jeff LaPlante again. Jeff, I don't know if I'm right. He says, tell us about the Meridian blend, and was the Meridian reblended? He's referencing that part in the question here.
Yes, Meridian was that particular product. We brought it to IPCPR last year, and cool. Once we got the samples and got into the show, we weren't happy with it. And basically, it made it to a few retailers, but then we brought it all back in-house. You know, we just didn't get what we thought we were going to be getting with that product with the particular folks that we were working with at the time. So because the name was so cool, and, you know, Courtney did some art, and, you know, we looked at it, and we were all pretty excited about it, and we said, well, let's bring this thing back out to the folks with a little bit better setup this time.
Okay, and so now that one's coming out of La Zona as well.
Correct.
I'll read between the lines and assume that it wasn't La Zona the first time.
You are reading correctly, yes.
Again, those powers of deduction, man, they are on point today. So, again, this one's out of La Zona, Ecuadorian wrapper, Ecuadorian Habano?
Yes.
Love Ecuadorian Habano. That might be my favorite wrapper leaf.
It's fantastic.
It really might be. Ecuadorian binder and Nicaraguan fillers. And this one is, you know what we didn't cover on the Daddy Mac was the price point?
$850
is right.
Perfect.
Dang it. I'm so good.
Nailed it.
Yes.
But see, you can see that difference, though, like I was talking about. Those cigars that come out of El Titan are always just a little bit more expensive. They're worth it, but they're always a little bit more expensive.
It's not for everybody.
No, and absolutely. And again, it seems like the way that you're building your line, and I'm just looking at it, the next two cigars that you're coming out with, the Meridian and through the
Venganza.
Venganza.
Yes.
Those are both out of La Zona. La Zona. So I imagine they're going to be in that same kind of price point. So the Cornelius named after the great-great-grandfather is going to be, that's kind of your ultra premium. And I get that. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, so tell us about the reblended Meridian.
You know, one of the things that I appreciate in premium cigars is certain levels of complexity, and we try to build that into every cigar, and I think Meridian is probably the pinnacle of that. There are a lot of things going on with that cigar, a lot of good things going on with it, some sweetness, there's some spice to it, some fruity notes, some coffee notes, it's a lot going on, and you know, once we get it out there, I hope folks will try it, and hopefully they'll enjoy it.
Yeah, this one sounds like it's a blend that's right in my wheelhouse, so I'm looking forward to that one. Absolutely. I got a question here from Bob Dog, and I'm just going to assume that Bob Dog has his info in order and ask, how did your great-great-grandfather get the nickname Straight Shooter?
Well, I don't know that his actual nickname is Straight Shooter, but I do know for a fact that he used to carry a pistol with him because he would often encounter different animals on the road that scared him. So he would actually carry the gun, and there's some pretty wild and crazy stories my granddaddy would used to tell me about a few times he was caught out on the road at night, and there was something chasing him, and he had his gun in his pocket and shooting. So it sounds like he's a pretty wild guy.
Yeah, it does. It does sound like it. But, I mean, at the same time, I'd rather have the six-shooter on me than have something take a bite out of my butt, you know?
Absolutely. True. Absolutely.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense to me. Okay, so let's jump in and let's cover the Vengaza for your final blend. These two are coming out of IPCPR in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
This one, another one out of La Zona, Ecuadorian wrapper, Ecuadorian Connecticut?
No, it's just a regular Ecuadorian binder. Okay. It's not a Connecticut.
Okay, Ecuadorian wrapper, Nicaraguan binder, filler. Again, out of La Zona. So tell us a little bit about that one.
This is a powerhouse, you know.
I was on the wrong end of that.
Yeah, it's a powerhouse. It really is. It's a cigar for folks that like a, you know, a heavy bodied, strong cigar. And you know, the term Venganza actually translates to vengeance in English. So that's one of the reasons the artwork is based on a Gatling gun that was back in the day. It was actually patented by Bailey. And it was known as the Bailey machine gun before it was known as the Gatling gun.
Huh. Interesting. It says use only Vengaza caliber stogies for maximum effect. I like that.
That's it.
Are you related to the guy who invented the Gatling gun?
It would be a great story to say yes, but I may be, but I highly doubt it.
Okay. I would just in the future say yes. Because, you know Bailey, I mean, hey.
Look, I'm too dumb to keep up with lies. So I typically am going to say the truth.
No, yeah. Logan, we've given Steven a couple opportunities to take credit for things.
I know, and he did not. He's a very modest man.
I think he's looking for that straight shooter nickname, I think. Because he's firing from the hip. No, I like that. Okay, so let's see. I'm going to scroll through some of these questions. Logan, if you have any questions you want to chime in with, because you've been quiet.
I know Spencer Drake worked for you last year, correct?
That is correct.
And then he is departed.
Correct.
And who has replaced him?
Todd Vance. Todd used to be the director of sales for AJ Fernandez.
Mm-hmm. Ah, well, and so did Spencer, as a matter of fact. Actually, twisted webs we weave.
Yes.
In our industry. But
believe it or not, Spencer actually referred us to Todd. So you know, it was a marriage made between Spence and us. So.
And so he didn't refer to you like a turd or nothing.
Maybe when I'm not listening, I don't know.
I don't know. That's funny. So how many shops are you guys in pre-IPCPR 2016?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
How many cigar shops are you guys in as of now?
50.
What's your goal exiting IPCPR? How many accounts will you have open?
As many as possible.
That's not a number.
You know, I haven't set a goal for anybody. You know, this is a deal that we're going to work hard and do the best we can every day. And we hope that the retail community will find us a good company to do business with and make good cigars. So we'll see. We're going to do the best we can every day, that's for sure.
Another question that I have is that, you know, people diversify their businesses all the time. I mean, was the thought to get in the cigar industry to diversify yourself where you weren't saddled with regulations? And obviously that hasn't really worked out because unfortunately the FDA is after us. What I'm trying to understand is that, you know, is I mean the cigar business or the cigarette business that you have and the growing business that you have, is that really the bread and butter and this is more of a pet project? Or is this the idea is to actually generate a ton of revenue off of this as well?
Well, any business has got to make enough money to survive as if it were out on its own, and that's kind of the way I view it. But to answer your question, yeah, I mean, when your ability to create products is taken away from you by the FDA, which we faced that back in 2009, I was searching for other outlets because, you know, if not, I'm buying a farm or, you know, I'm spending stupid money on things that I shouldn't do. So, I'd rather be, you know, creating tobacco products and making things that folks enjoy on their off time.
I would agree. So, you know, what percentage of the farm that you have actually is used for your own products versus sold to others? And I'm just curious because I've never really talked to anyone in the cigarette business. And I just to let you know, if you're interested, I've got 15 acres of prime Missouri tobacco growing land above the Missouri River, right there in North Platte County, if you're interested. We could probably work something out.
We've actually bought quite a bit of Pennsylvania Type 609 tobacco out of Missouri in the past. So the Amish and the Mennonite, you know, they're good folks. They do a good job.
Yeah, man. Hey, I'm telling you, 15 acres. They used to grow tobacco there on my grandparents' land, but they've recently passed. And, it's just kind of sitting there. I mean, it's so cool, man, because you – like where I'm from in Texas, like literally you dig down an inch and you're hitting a rock. Like I remember with my grandpa, we'd plow a field and like it was just black dirt the entire time. It was never anything. So I don't know if you're interested, man, it's available.
Everything for a price. But to your question about how much tobacco do we use off of our farm, it really varies from year to year. It really goes back to the quality of the tobacco. And, you know, we have certain standards that need to be met in order for us to use it in our products. And if it doesn't meet that standard, well, we sell it to Philip Morris. So that's kind of how it works.
That's awesome. That was the best answer we've ever had on the show. Hey, we sell it to Philip Morris.
Awesome. Oh, man. Just a reminder to the audience, you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com. Broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're chatting with Stephen Bailey of Cornelius and Anthony Cigars. And Logan, this, final segment is brought to us by who?
Our good friends at Drew Estate. Have you downloaded the Drew Estate Diplomat app yet? I have. Come add me as a friend. If you don't, you're a poser. Back to you, Rob. Poser. Now, see, that was just Logan off the cuff.
That was that's what happens when you don't give us a copy for your. I've downloaded.
That's what Sam told me to do.
Yeah, I've downloaded the app, and I've checked
it's
in.
It's hopping.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty cool. So let's see. I've got some interesting questions here, and they're all from Stefan Lindblad. And so this is going to be like the Stefan Lindblad segment here. And let's see. So we're going to start with this. This is an interesting question. As a company that isn't vertically integrated, what is it like managing the work with different factories, procuring tobacco, et cetera? Do you rely on the current inventory, tobacco inventory, that is, of El Titan and La Zona, or do you... are you targeting other tobaccos that you might want to work with and say, hey, guys, you know, go get me a bale of this? Or does it work that way? Or how does that work for you?
Well, it does vary. You know, I have a fantastic relationship with several tobacco suppliers coming from the other segment of our business. We're also buyers and sellers of tobacco. We keep millions of pounds of inventory on hand. So we know most of the suppliers from, you know, both – domestically and internationally. We have pretty good relationships with all of them. In the case of both of these cigars, and really all four of these cigars, it was more or less of what was in inventory. And, you know, we understand that most of the time when you can take a blend out of the tobaccos that are already in the manufacturer's inventory, you know, you're going to save some money. Because her thinking is, I don't know if I want to go out and buy X amount of tobacco for this new company that I don't know a lot about.
Sure.
So, you know, it makes a lot of sense for them to use tobacco from their inventory, helps keep costs down, and it actually helps us build a good relationship with the manufacturer.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, we've like I said, we've talked with a lot of companies that when they're getting started up, just like yourself, and you're working with Altitan, you're working with Lazona. Who knows? I mean, you know, a year from now we could talk to you and you're working with, my father or something like that. You never know. You'd be working with anybody. But it's just interesting. I mean, especially with your background in the tobacco industry, I don't think we've ever spoken, Logan, and correct me if I'm wrong, with anyone who has a background like yours.
Nope.
Yeah, it's unique. I mean, when you start talking about millions of pounds of tobacco, I've never heard anyone say that on the show before.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big part of our business. We've been contracting with farmers really way before the auction system in the South went away. Some of my early training was with my dad up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, which, you know, grows a lot of good cigar tobacco, but they also may not be as well known, grow a Pennsylvania type 609 variety that's actually a Maryland type. So the tobacco that used to be grown in Southern Maryland, the seed was carried to Lancaster County, and when it's planted in Lancaster County, it tends to get heavier, and it's more of a burly type. And we've been up there in that community buying and selling tobacco since 1980, and learned a lot of lessons in Lancaster County. It was kind of the wild, wild west back in the day.
Yeah, that's interesting. Let me see here. A couple more questions from Stefan. What are the production numbers on each blend? How many cigars are you guys producing?
You know, it's really based on order quantity. You know, we're being a larger company, we're constantly managing inventory because it's dollars. So, you know, as far as the number of sticks are concerned, we keep a small inventory, but we make often and frequent smaller orders. And, you know, we just launched these products back in March. So, you know, this is part of the joy of launching new products is it's hard to project and forecast how much you're going to need. So, you know, it's a constant thing that we're watching. I couldn't give you any specific numbers right now. It's frankly too early.
Okay, fair enough. And just for reference, I'm going back to Seth's reviews here, and he was able to get his hands on some of your cigars here. He gave the Daddy Mac a 90, and in our rating system, that's a box split, and the Cornelius an 89, which I think is also a box split.
Mm-mm.
No, it's a 5-pack. So those are two pretty good ratings for those two cigars. So that's good to see. So, but I am curious to try them myself. No Maduro is in your line.
Not at this point.
Not yet.
Not yet.
No San Andreas Maduro. Pennsylvania Broadleaf.
No Connecticut. Broadleaf out of the United States is one of your finer cigar tobaccos on earth, in my opinion. And you'll probably see something with some of that product sometime in the future.
Look at that. See that, Logan? I'm getting the information, man.
Curious, though. You are. You're like Sherlock Holmes over there.
He didn't want to give up the info, but I got it. I'm getting it.
Well, here's my question is that, I mean, assuming, you know, fingers crossed, praying to, you know, God above, that come August 9th, unless you're going to go out and try to get a market authorization, spend who knows how much, like, I'm assuming it's going to have to be pretty quick.
You know, you hit the nail on the head with the whole prayer thing. That's kind of what we're working on here. A little praying.
That's kind of what we're nailing it to.
Yeah, praying. We got a little hope strategy going on here. You know, down here in Southside, man, we tend to do things and aim later. So that's kind of where we're at with all of this stuff.
All right, fair enough. So we've got we still got about 20 minutes. That's good. A question here from, and this is a question from Brock, and Brock, thanks for the question. I'm going to go ahead and kind of tweak it a little bit, because this isn't exactly what he's asking, but can you rank your cigars kind of from a strength and flavor profile, from like strongest to least to highest, I guess, strongest to more mild?
Yeah, I mean, the Daddy Mac is definitely a stronger product than the Cornelius, in my opinion. It's the Cornelius is a little more rounded. I wouldn't use the term mild because, you know, everybody's got a different palate. But the Daddy Mac is a stronger product than the Cornelius, in my opinion.
And the Vengaza is the strongest.
Ben Gonza has got it's kind of loaded, so it's gonna be a strong cigar. You know, I don't want to say man cigar because that might upset somebody, but it's a strong cigar.
We call it a heater. It's a heater.
It's a heater. I agree with that. Yeah,
for sure. Logan, that one's right up your alley, man.
Yeah, Gag into Lovelace.
Logan, you like the heaters, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Let's see. I had a question here from Jeff Madre that I wanted to ask. Jeff, where did your question go? Filler. I lost it. So we'll jump into another question here. Let's see. So hold on. Okay. Okay, there you go. Have you this is another one from Bob Dog. It says, have you moved forward on any plans to introduce a cigar named after your grandfather, Frank Bailey? Bob Dog seems to know a lot about your family.
Yeah, well, I would. You know, my grandfather, he passed away a little over a year ago, and he was the patriarch of our family. You know, he really set the tone for really who my dad is and who I am too. You know, it's a strong work ethic and, you know, treat people the way you want to be treated. And, you know, my granddaddy was one of the great people in my life, and I certainly would like the opportunity to be able to do that. And we'll keep our fingers crossed that FDA doesn't take that opportunity away from us.
All right, fair enough. That's so it sounds like that one might be coming in the future. So let's see. Another one from Stefan. He says he loves both of your blends. The Cornelius, though the Cornelius Toro is my favorite of the two so far. So he loves the Cornelius Toro. He says, of all of your cigars, which is your go-to and why? Which one do you find yourself smoking the most?
I smoke the Daddy Mac the most. It's got a sweetness to it, and you know, that's probably one of my weaknesses. I probably would weigh about 150 pounds if I wasn't a big sugar freak. and you know, the Daddy Mac really satisfies me a little bit more. But I'm actually right now smoking a Cornelia, so you know, a lot of it depends on mood. But I really enjoy the Daddy Mac cigar personally the best because I tend to like sweet things.
Okay, so it sounds like that one's going to be in my realm too. So far, the Cornelius and the Daddy Mac, and what was the last one? You'll have to remind me here. It was
Benghazi.
The Meridian. The Meridian. Those three sound like they're right in my wheelhouse. That absolutely sounds true. Okay, this is a really important question from Stefan. I wanted to get to this earlier and I lost it. There's so many questions here, and I scroll through and I lose them. They keep changing order. He says, in a cage match or a street brawl, if you prefer, who wins, Cornelius or Anthony?
That's a good question. You know, I would say Cornelius would have to win because I would have to give up because he's got the gun in his pocket.
That's right. That's funny. I was going to chime in with that. If he doesn't mention the six shooter in the pocket, I'm going to come in. Okay, so here's a question from Garen Fry, and he wants to know, in relation to your website, when we can expect to see a website that's got a little more information on it. I think the website is kind of under construction at this point.
Any minute now. We've spent a lot of time on it. We're really proud of it. Can't show it to you today, but I can look at it myself. So you actually will be able to see it certainly before IPCPR.
Okay, perfect. So within the next... That's what, 10 days from now or something?
That's right.
So quick.
Yeah, it really is. I was looking at the calendar. I just got a work project, and the deadline was the Tuesday that we're going to be in Vegas. And then I kind of had to do the work math. Okay, do I have enough time to finish it by that Friday? You know, cutting, you know, a couple days off my deadline. Can I do that? Yeah, I can do it, but it's going to be busy times at RHR Enterprises for the next few weeks, that's for sure.
Yep, busy times.
Busy times, man, I'm telling you. So let's see. Keep scrolling through some of these questions here. There you go, jump
you guys
in.
Coming to the cigar market last year, basically, you're really in the cigar market now, right about the time the FDA dropped the hammer. Let's pretend you go back to you first started your company, the Cornelius stuff, you know, 19, you said 94, 95?
1994, yeah.
Let's say you started making cigars. Where do you think you would be right now?
You know, having made so many mistakes in the cigarette business, I don't know. You know, I would say we would probably be much larger. I probably would own a factory in a third world country right now that I would travel to quite often. And, you know, I love the Latin America culture. So that would be a fun thing. That'd be a big accomplishment in life. You know, I think if I knew then what I know now, you know, I obviously could have avoided a lot of stupid mistakes. So, you know, I think that's probably true for most people, but boy, were we dumb when we got in this business. It's just, you know, it was kind of bad news bears there for a few years. And, you know, thankfully we were able to soldier on and too dumb to quit and just kept after it. But yeah, I think we would probably be, you know, a much larger company if I had all the experience that I've got now.
Okay. Logan, if you knew what you know now, where would you be?
Not running Cigar Federation.
I'm telling you, a Double R Brewing, that would have started in like 1996.
I mean, if I would have known what I would have known now, I would have pulled the Pete Johnson, would have started, like, because I graduated from college in 2006. I would have started right out of there on the side and hopefully have known and just whip out like 10 blends at 10 different factories and then just kind of be sitting there. And then, yeah, not that I'd really be in the industry or anything, but then come this, I would just sell off my blends and I'll license them out to people and say, hey, Nomad, you want a new cigar? It's going to cost you.
It would be nice. It would be nice to go back, I'm telling you. So let's see. So this is an important question. This one's from Derek Hume. Derek has in his local B&Ms don't carry Cornelius and Anthony yet. He says, where can you find your cigars? Are they available anywhere online?
Yes, I think you can go to Stogie's and buy our products online. We're not doing any business right now with the big discounters. Don't really have any plans to. Not saying it'll never happen, but you know, we are trying to support the brick and mortar community because I think that's the, you know, that's really the greatest opportunity for us to really get to know the consumer, and understand what it is that they want and what we can do to provide that. So yeah, we've got a lot of work to do. We've got brokers all across the country. You know, you kind of run into a lull this time of the year because the folks at retail just really don't want to buy anything because they're going IPCPR. Then you get to, oh, well, we just bought all of these things at IPCPR. Come back in January. You know, that's just part of being in business, you know. Yeah. And it's up to us to get the product in the consumer's hands and let them try it and let them kind of dictate distribution.
Well, Stogie's is a great place to be. Stogie's, it's in Houston, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, that's a great shop, and they've got a really nice online presence. So, and that was oh, man, who asked that question? That was Derek. Derek, that's where you can find him at Stogie's.
Well, Derek, if we play the cards right, maybe the SigFed store, too. Never know.
You never know.
Never know. That Logan might come by with the Black Amex. You never know.
Okay.
Never know. You
awesome.
Never know.
Black Amex.
We're open for business.
Hey, come on down.
The Black Amex, I love it.
Hey, for real, it is a Black Amex. It's not mine.
It's got somebody's name on it. I don't know.
Hey, it goes through, man. That's all that matters.
As long as it clears, that's all that
it
matters.
It clears, bro.
Absolutely.
Right. Got some checks on that thing.
A question from Jeff Madre. Jeff wants to know if your parent company is the term that you use. Do you guys produce any pipe tobacco?
Yes, but it's more of a tobacco that folks are doing other things with.
Okay.
You know, as far as a premium pipe tobacco, no. But I will say, from a tobacco blender's perspective, if you're really a nerd and you're really into blending tobacco, pipe tobacco is where it's at. There's so many different varieties and things that are done with pipe tobacco. It's really fascinating to pick one apart and look at it and the different characteristics and notes that are created by some of the premium pipe companies. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, Logan, have you done any of that?
What?
Any blending? Pipe blending on your own?
I can't really say that I've done pipe blending, but of course I've taken a little bit of, you know, GLPs, you know, Gaslight, and mixed it with a little bit of this. It's much easier to be a creationist with pipe tobacco than it is cigars because, well, not for me necessarily because I have connections in the industry, but for the regular consumer because you can't really – rolling a cigar is – you'd think it'd be easy. Like, I'd rather go and get a four-year college degree again than roll cigars for a living. That is tough. Yeah. It is tough. And these fat little sausages just ain't making it work, I'm telling you.
There's been moments in my life where I've felt really, really stupid.
That was one of them.
And the first time I went down on a cigar safari and I sat down and tried to roll a cigar, dude, and I wasn't even rolling it. I was just putting the wrapper on. Just the wrapper. And I felt so stupid. And
the bunching's the hardest part, man.
Oh, I can imagine. Like that, it's such skilled work. And granted, it's the kind of thing, if you learn correctly and you get muscle memory and you get used to doing it, right. You can do it. Like, I'm sure there's things that I'm used to doing that maybe some other people aren't. Who knows? Yeah, that I felt really, really stupid. The girl, the roller girl, who was showing me how to do it, she's just standing there while I'm sitting, and she's just shaking her head.
Shaking her head.
No. She's like, no, dude, that's not – I showed you how to – you cut it this way.
You suck.
Yeah. She was starting to get frustrated at the end. Like, because, you know, they've got the little blade. What's the blade called?
Chivetta.
The Chivetta, yeah. And so you kind of roll it across, and by the end, she's just like slicing everything. Like, okay, this is going to get – some bloodshed is going to happen.
A minute and a half, Rob.
Yeah, we got a minute and a half left? Yes, okay, sir. So that's – I think we've kind of – we've addressed most of these questions. They're all kind of touched on different things. But, Stephen, let everybody know where they can find you. Obviously, the website is – I assume it's CorneliusAndAnthonyCigars.com.
That is correct. CorneliusAndAnthony.com.
Oh, yes. CorneliusAndAnthony.com.
Yeah.
And that will be up and running within the next week or so.
That's correct.
Let everybody know where they can find you guys, social media, Facebook, Instagram, all that.
We're on Instagram, Cornelius _ and _ Anthony. Leave the us out. yeah, don't put those in there. And we're on Twitter and Facebook, so come check us out. Like us.
Awesome. Yeah, give him a like. That's
Steven, oh my God, that's awesome. Now you cracked me up, dude. That was amazing.
Stephen, this has been a blast. This has been a ton of fun. I'm really looking forward to trying your cigars. We're gonna see you in about 10 days at IPCPR, and we'll talk about the new releases. And we talked about them already, but we'll talk about them again. And it's been a pleasure. It really has.
Thank you much, and I'd also like to shout out to all the service members and their families out there. You guys and ladies, we're blessed in this country because of you, and we're mighty thankful for what you're doing protecting our freedoms abroad and here at home. So God bless all of you.
Absolutely. That's well said. I couldn't say it better myself. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Everybody out there listening, we'll be back next week. We've got our pre-IPCPR show. We're just going to talk about the upcoming show with SaveTheLeaf.org. is going to be on the show with us as well. We kind of got an important thing going on there. So some interesting info next week. Everybody, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Cigar Chat. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe, and we'll catch you on CigarFederation.com.
And we're fucking back.
Yeah, we're back. And this is – and now, you know, and I always say this, and I give kind of a little glimpse into the pre-show warm-up that I do with all of our guests. I let them know the first 58 minutes, it's our Armed Forces Radio segment. You have to keep the language clean. And 95% of the time, I'm pretty convinced that I'm not going to have an issue with the guest. And today was one of those 95%. I knew that Stephen, you weren't going to say fuck or shit or bitch or anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes we have some guests that it's like, I just don't know.
They're worse than me.
I just don't know if this episode is going to make it to the Armed Forces Radio segment. I just don't think it's going to happen. It's some of them, and you know, you guys know who you are if you're the guest. I'm not going to call you out by name, but it's not hard to figure out. There's some shows that it's tough, man. But no, I had a good feeling about you. This was a lot of fun hanging out and chatting with you.
You're really a good old boy, man. I like it.
I've really enjoyed it. I had no idea what to expect. I told Courtney early on, I said, boy, you know, we probably should have tested all this stuff, because what if I get there and, you know, we can't get hooked up, or I forgot my earphones or whatever, you know. So, but it's come out real nice, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to be on, and It's a lot of fun. And yeah, I have to watch my mouth. I mean, my granny would not be happy with me if she heard me saying bad words. And I've never smoked in front of her. And, you know, I know she's not dumb. She's 95. She lives right up the road here. But I try to keep it clean when I know that, you know, there's certain folks around. So
absolutely. No, I appreciate it.
How many acres do you guys have?
Well, this year we're going to grow about 150 acres of tobacco, but you know, we've got a lot of land. And that's one of the benefits of being in a Nowhereville, Virginia. You know, we're in rural Virginia, and it's 9 minutes to my house from here. There are no stoplights in between, and you know, one of the beauties of that is, you know, the land tends to be a little cheap, but you know, we own right much, and we try to keep it productive with trees or cattle or tobacco or, you know, something, hay right. land, for example. Yeah.
So what's the word on you maybe leasing those 15 acres of a grandparents have? what do you think about that?
I think anything is possible. Anything is possible.
It's got some good soil, man.
I hate to interrupt Logan's Craigslist listing for to lease out his property, but that's not what people are here to. You guys want to talk about that on your own time.
No, but that's just good. That's good entertainment.
I'm just doing business.
Hey, you never know, man. The thing is, there's not anything on the land right now. Like, they haven't grown tobacco. And the reason I'm all uppity about this, and I'll tell you the story just real quick, is that they grew tobacco in there in, like, the 70s, and the government came through and gave them a subsidy of some sort. And, you know, my grandpa died several years ago, and, you know, my grandma, and, like, they've been getting the subsidy. Well, the subsidy ran out last year, so they're not paying for that anymore. And I was like, okay, well, that's the whole point of a subsidy. It's like, you pay it to not do something. And I was like, how does it run out? Like, I haven't been able to figure it out. Maybe you could trust somebody, Steven, I don't know. But I'm like, well, you know, damn it. Like, if you're not going to pay me a subsidy not to grow this fucking shit, we're going to fucking grow it.
And I want to know. Yeah, I would absolutely do it for sure.
I know, and it's good fucking land too. And they have a curing barn and everything.
Yeah, you're like, set up.
No, you're set up, brother. That's how kind of fucking with you.
One of my goals in life is to be a consultant. So, you know, once you get out to the field, give me a call and I'll get you started. For a fee, of course.
What about if we could just split the crop?
No sharecropping, bro.
No sharecropping. Oh, man. You're putting the screws to me. I'm going to love – okay, yeah.
No, I love it. He's just, you know, one of my goals in life is to be a consultant.
I would love to do just one crop, because I think it would be – I mean, obviously the back is going to be shitty. But, like, just to do one crop just to say I did it, because I think it'd be a hell of a learning experience.
Yeah. You better move up there and do it.
There's a lot of work, man. It's a lot of work in tobacco. I figured out when I was 16 out on the farm, and you know, we were changing irrigation systems, and you know, irrigation systems are historically pieces of shit. And I have a date on a Friday night, and the damn pump will not prime. And I primed that pump until I almost played out, and that's when I made up my mind. If I'm going to make money in the tobacco business, it's not going to be on this damn farm.
All right. It's not sounding good, Logan. It's not sounding good.
Hey, I'm not doing it to make a lot of money. I'm doing it for the experience, Rob.
Oh, well, then can we videotape this and do like a – make it into a reality show?
I'm only talking about the first crop, though.
I just
going to have to turn after the second one.
It would be the first SigFed reality show. I think it would be pretty awesome.
It would be a mess. You know how lazy I am when it comes to manual labor. I have Jared do all that. It would be a fucking shit show. Anyway.
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing. You can move all of the mods out there for whatever the growing period is. What is it, like 6 months, 8 months, or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
And have us all – it'll be awesome. John can film everything.
And we'll you guys all can work, stay in my grandparents' house.
And we'll all work the field. Awesome. There it is. That's our reality show. So, okay, so we've got some giveaways to do. And I actually picked – I know you gave away some stuff on Facebook already. I picked 6 winners. Mm-hmm. Is that too many?
No.
Okay, so 6 is good. All right, so I'm going to go down the list in no particular order.
Read them slow so I can write them down.
I'll read them slow. I could even email them to you. But do you want to see the picture? I wrote them down. They're all right here.
Why don't you just read them, hon?
Can you see that?
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Did you just call me hun?
I'm not even looking. Yeah.
Did you say, why don't you just read them, hon?
Yep.
That's weird.
Shut up, Mike.
I'm a little uncomfortable. Okay, so in no particular order, Stefan, we asked like 19 of your questions, so obviously Stefan wins. Stefan, is it Stefan or Stefan? Damn it, it's Stefan.
At this point, it doesn't fucking matter because you butchered it either way, so let's just move on.
I know the guy, and I chat with him, and like we like beer and cigars. We have a lot in common, and I get his name wrong.
You both have wieners. Yep.
Garen Fry, winner. Brock, and Brock, I didn't write down your last name, but you were the only Brock who asked a question, so Brock is a winner. Derek Hume, H-U-M-E, Hume, I think. Jeff Madre and Jeff LaPlante, one of those three, I think.
Okay.
So those
and
are the
rest of you can just email me, everyone, email me, Logan Cigar Federation, Cornelius and Anthony in the subject line, with your full name, shipping address, and a statement certifying you're above legal age in your current jurisdiction to consume, to purchase tobacco products, and I'll pick out some of the random winners as well.
And you're going to pick some podcast winners because we have...
I'm going to pick a fuck ton of them.
We've got 60,000 podcast downloads a month or something like that.
I can't believe it's that fucking high.
It's crazy.
Who would listen to this shit?
It's crazy. No, did you not listen to the show? We have a big following in Bangkok.
Hey, man.
Yeah. In Bangkok. Because of Eddie.
No, that's apparently like a happening cigar place. Like, for real. Like,
that's
no
because
shit.
Of Eddie Guerra.
Yeah, so, exactly.
On the show last week, Eddie's a great guy, but he tells everybody about our show. We have a big following in Bangkok. So I don't know how to say, I don't know what language they speak in Bangkok.
Thai.
So they speak Thai? I don't know how to. I can't talk Thai.
You can't speak Thai. Jack speak Thai very good.
Jack can't talk Thai. Oh, Jack can't talk Thai.
Thai very good.
Koh Samui was the island off the coast of Thailand. What movie is that?
Meet the Parents.
Meet the Parents.
It's obviously related to my father-in-law.
Yeah, there you go. Meet the Parents. There we go. Okay, anyway. So, yeah, we've got a lot of podcast listeners. So put podcast in the subject line. And like I said before, tell us where you listen to our podcast, how you download it, that kind of thing. I think we've covered everything. And, Stephen, thanks for being patient with us here towards the end. Anything you wanted to talk about that we didn't get into?
No, I think you guys did a great job. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed the show. The time has flown by. And, you know, if you guys find it possible, let me know. I'd love to come back sometime.
Absolutely. We'll have you back. It's funny when we tell folks it's going to be about a 70-minute show, it can sound daunting. Because you think back to like maybe a high school class or a college class. Like I had to give a 2-minute speech and it took forever. It's 50, 60, 70 minutes flies by on this show. But we'll come see you at IPCPR. You guys have
excellent.
Do you know what booth number you're at?
I do have a booth, but you know what? I don't have it handy. It's under Cornelius and Anthony, though.
You know what? Even if you told me where the booth number was,
it wouldn't
fucking matter.
We'll find it when we walk by you.
Yeah, you'll be there. It's a nice looking booth, and we're excited about it.
No, I having seen all the artwork, I'm really curious to see how the booth is going to come out, because I really do appreciate the look of everything you guys do. And we'll come see you in Vegas. It's going to be about 108. You guys ready for that?
That's a dry heat.
It is a dry heat.
It's 108 in Virginia today, so whoop-de-doo.
Oh, so you're fine with it. Okay, that's fine.
I'm used to it, yeah.
Okay, well, whatever. I'm not.
Southern Cal, probably not, no.
No, I'm right out. I'm in Northern California, right outside of San Francisco.
Okay.
I'm actually a little bit more inland, so it gets a little bit hotter, but it's, yeah. I work for the Giants, so when I go into the ballpark the next time I'm going to be there. I have to bring, it's 102 and I'm leaving with a jacket and a sweatshirt and all this stuff because it's, you know, 62 degrees at first pitch by the time I get there. It's unbelievable.
That's awesome.
But anyway, we'll be back next week. We've got Logan and Rob, IPCPR pregame show. I know John is going to join us. Surgeons, we'll be talking all IPCPR and the SaveTheLeaf.org. They've got a big herb coming up. They're going to tell us about that. So that's awesome. Guys, thanks so much for tuning into another Cigar Chat. Really do appreciate it. And we'll see you next week. Download the Cigar Federation app if you haven't already.
If you haven't,
then you're a poser, right?
You're a fucking poser.
All right, guys. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe. And we'll catch you next week.
Thanks, guys.